country petite bourgeois tendencies of a neo-democratic...
Please, this is so unpleasing. Hand me that telephone. Hello? Front desk? Get me the new order right away. Right here, right now. You have only yourself to blame. If you put me, Bookflow owner Neil Coondoggy, under such monumental stress, submitting me, chair of the Downfrown Association, to the utter monstrosity, the sordid dealings of the endlessly squabbling left of extreme center movements, then, Professor Grotkin, you and I will both go down together.
I'd be happy to go downtown with you. In fact, I'd be honored if you'd put your slap-happy ass on the back seat of my Honda 350. We'll zip down there in two ticks of a term paper.
Don't trifle with me. Don't tickle me with your sickle hammer fantasies. I know which side of the bread my bacon is buttered on. Our moment of doom.
Did you call the new order, Mr. Coondoggy?
I certainly did. Tell this loose-lipped lefty what the new order is.
Oh, the new order. Cheese, olives, and garlic with frothy whipped topping.
That's it. You may glow now.
I may glow now?
You can glow and take these greenbacks.
Why, thank you. You're a generous councilman.
I still say that the post-apocalyptic neo-communistic Togliatti Italian school of socialism is far preferable.
Professor, will you for 1 second just shove it?
Shove it? Shavitsky? Yes. Whereas the pseudo-Bolshevik Shavitsky approach has been largely discredited.
What's the matter with you, you galloping greenhorn? Will you kindly Shavitsky your mouth? Take a deep breath of free enterprise air, and then kindly open your mouth to receive this tasteful product of the local pizza bakery.
Sure, I can do that.
Thank you. I usually enjoy a long moment of silence while partaking of these culinary offerings.
That must be so good. It looks so good.
Didn't I say you could leave?
Oh, I wouldn't want to do that.
Why not?
Not after you gave me all that money and told me to glow for you. Nobody's ever said that to me before. It's a strange request, but I kind of like it. Am I glowing enough?
What's she talking about?
I remember. You told her she could glow now.
I know I told her to glow, so why is she staying?
Mr. Coondoggy, do you have a vocal problem? Some obstruction in your mouth?
Only my tongue.
That must be it. And so the two welchers and squelchers of the middle right and the middle left munch on in silent rhetorical bliss in the inner sanctum of their city council office. Till eventually, I'll toss these spare pizza crusts into the basket. Hopefully it'll end up in the top heap in the garbage dumpster, and hopefully some hopeful homeless person will happen to discover these delicious bits of excess food.
What's that?
My trickle-down, pickle-down theory of ecological social justice.
Coming back to my theme, that every socialist dog would really like to be a selfish hog. Let's say that a certain red-tinged professor of such social antiquities as Marxism and the archaic philosophy of equal distribution of wealth, pardon my belch, let's say just such a professor, whittling away his worthless, valuable time on the preparation of pareal presentations, suddenly felt an insurmountable urge to dream the impossible dream, to join the unsinkable scheme. There might just be a way.
There might?
Let me tempt you, oh rosy-tinted one. Let me tempt you. Just say he discovered there was a consumer demand for these ancient 1950s exotic erotic paraphernalia of the lost cult of left-wing self-laceration. What would he do?
Well, I'm a professor. How would I know?
Oh, clueless one. What the nutty professor would do is he would call upon his wealthy fellow citizens who already own a downclown bookstore, would insinuate himself into the good graces of that established business genius, and would invite him to invest in the potential for an obscure mail-order bookstore specializing in socialist secret documents and Trotskyite trivia.
There's only one problem.
Let Cousin Neil handle it.
Mail order. It has a nasty sexist bias. I know it's well-intended, but my constituency includes several militant feminist groupings who would...
Please. What's your business sense? Get some top-notch lesbian activist who needs a job and put her in charge of the mail-order schmuck store. It'll be our little stratagem.
Maybe.
All things are possible, dear boy.
The trouble is, I'd have to make a profit.
No, you don't. You can run it as a 503 QC, A, B, and C, double-digit, never-fidget, triple-whammy non-profit on a shoestring. Or a not-for-profit.
Could I sneak in with a not-for-too-much profit?
That is a terrible business principle.
Why?
Because, dear boy, business dies unless it constantly expands and expands and expands.
Stop. stop, Mr. Coondoggy. You're so big, you're filling the room. There's no space left.
I can't breathe. It's this grotesque capitalist expansion. I'm really impressed.
Of course, it takes a full 45 minutes for the enormously inflated Dow Jones Industrial, as well as the enormously inflated entrepreneur, Neil Boondoggy, owner of the Down Clown Bookstore, to deflate to his more than adequate normal dimensions.
Ooh, did I imagine that?
All things are possible. Ah, here comes our fellow councilperson, Ms. Scintilla Malthus.
Are you two bozos? I'll start again. Are you two boys having a mutually intellectual, meeting of the minds? Assuming you have a mind between you.
Professor Mike, this is Scintilla Malthus, most likely our next mayor.
Glad to meet you, Scintillator.
Call me Scintilla, no need to be formal.
Chew gum? Here's some local squiggly spearmint, vintage 1982.
Try my new brand.
Thanks. Never tried that flavor before.
What flavor you got?
Latex. Boy, that's a new one. What flavor you get?
Chic. Pre-lubricated.
Oh, sounds good.
I think I'll pass.
Don't be naughty, boys.
Good soul. Just has to have her a little joke.
What does the Scintillator do around town?
I've never been able to find out. There's an urban legend about this chewing gum, though. Kids in my neighborhood swear that if they eat her chewing gum, they never get pregnant.
National Homeless Day.
And that was Homeless in Outer Space. And as you can hear, that's kind of more the finished product. Apparently, we started with more of the rough drafts.
Yeah. It got a better. We were on the right part of the tape there. Sorry, listeners.
So Nick, it's pretty much kind of waiting the final touches, sound effects, and so forth before you put this out.
No, it is done.
Already done. Okay.
Yeah.
And when will you be actually doing your initial opening night on this?
On this program?
Or we can do it on this program. How long is the?
Well, when do you think?
We can do it, assuming the station is still running. Next week would be a good time.
You want to do it weekend or Thursday?
Weekend is good. What's the running
you
time?
You have more time on Thursday. Well, you have more time on Sunday.
Yeah, for those who are listening, we're talking with Nick Whitehead, who's the playwright who wrote Homeless in Outer Space. He also did a previous production, which I thought was very successful, Home Sweet Homeless. Again, a kind of a political satire. This is a radio play. The other one was actually a full stage production that he was doing outside.
Well, it was in the parks.
And so how about next Sunday at, 10:30?
Yeah, good.
What time is that? How long is your production run?
Well, we're about halfway through part one.
So what's the whole running time?
The whole running time is 2 hours.
Well, what we could do is maybe we could do it one part one week and then one hour the next.
We should finish part one next Sunday, and then
pick
when
up.
When World War III really breaks out, we should play part two the following Sunday.
It'll be a real quick part two, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nick, for
okay.
And please stay with us if you'd like to, be part of the commentary and the ongoing jamboree. I want to announce that Monday tomorrow, March 17th. At 12:15, Free Radio's Vinny Lombardo, the V-Man, will be hosting a show on the notorious KSCO, We Don't Mention Free Radio Here, AM 1080. And this is going to include Wade Hudson, a Boulder Creek man now in Baghdad with the Iraqi peace team, Charlie Richardson of Military Families Speak Out, and Eric Gustafson, a Gulf War vet and Iraqi expert. If you want to call into this show, it's a standard KSCO call-in number. It's at 479-1080. Or 477-1340. And another quick announcement, people in Santa Cruz County will be holding a candlelight vigils today, part of international action to oppose the war. Santa Cruz vigils will begin, as you've heard before, but I'll repeat, 7 p.m. at the Santa Cruz Clock Tower, Lighthouse on West Cliff, Capitol Esplanade, in the corner of Mill Street and Highway 9 in Ben Lomond. Bring a candle.
And they better be 3,000 people, at least at the town clock, because I see 3,000 precision-guided missiles are intended to be used in the first 48 hours of any upcoming war.
U.S. Operation Shock and Awe, as Celia Scott revealed it at the town hall meeting, the one that Mayor Emily Riley refused to act on any of their resolutions of any significance. That was, we may recall that one last month. We were going to have another town hall meeting on March 19th, but Emily Riley canceled that because, as you can see, there is no cause for alarm. or perhaps it's the we can't do anything, or is it the Keith Sugars, we don't have the votes? I'm not sure, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, or perhaps it's cover Sam Farr's ass at all costs. In any case, the vigil should be beginning again, probably 5 o'clock downtown at Jamba Juice, that's, or perhaps under the eaves of the post office. And that assumes, of course, that we there isn't some larger vigil going on, perhaps, at the town clock. One would hope that hundreds and hundreds of people will show up and stay out overnight, urging no war and staying there until the war stops, regardless of the fact that the police will tell you, you can't sleep here, you can't set up a tent here, you can't have a candle here, you can't have a table here, or whatever the latest edict is.
Edicts are what we need. Yeah. Presidential directives, otherwise I don't know what to do.
Or directives from Emily Riley and the Santa Cruz City Council. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and I'm your host, Robert Norse. Call-in number is 427-3772, and I hope you'd give us a quick call. We have about 25 minutes left in the show, and we'll be coming back on Thursday again, assuming all is, if that's possible. Invite you to join us then if you can't get in now. And you can also call between shows at 423-HUFF, which is the HUFF line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Leave a message, and we have a HUFF meeting every Wednesday at 8:30 at Baker's Square Restaurant. You're welcome to come to that. You can also reach me on the internet if you want to reach me by internet at rnorse@hotmail.com. I'm currently checking the internet. If you got something you want to have read aloud on the air, it's quite possible we will do that, though I've got all kinds of dreck to get through here, which I usually don't allow myself adequate time for. Some quick updates. The permit parking plan of the, is it the Planning Department? Public Works, I think, has this plan to take away all the free parking in town from you and then sell it back to you to raise money for the city to pay more bureaucrats to administer your
Wait. That doesn't sound possible. They can't take money out of people's pockets and then make them pay for putting the money back in their pockets.
This is an amazing modern situation, which actually it's a rather old traditional situation. The king used to do it with the tax collectors.
Sounds like an old shell game, deception.
That's pretty much the story. Thomas Levitt said he didn't have the time or energy to pursue this issue when he was struggling for work, and he's a Green Party member. We're hoping he's calling in. In fact, maybe that's him right now. Let's see what we got here on the line. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, hi Robert, this is Mad John.
Oh, Mad John, what's new there, Mad John?
Well, I want to urge, as a senior, I'm 73, I want to urge all seniors that are listening and that have that may have grandchildren or whatever to get out tonight at these candlelight vigils. I heard about a group of seniors up in, I think it was San Rafael, that they were all over 70, and some of them were 95 years old, I think, somebody there. And so we seniors need to do what we can do, because we above all know what happened in our past recent history. The similarities that what happened in Germany are very evident. The German people were like hypnotized by Hitler, and it almost seems the same in this country with Führer Bush. So seniors, unfortunately, a lot of young people don't seem to know too much about modern history and how in Germany the opposition parties all laid down and played dead and gave Hitler absolute power. He won never won a free election, but the socialists and the liberals and the Catholics and the agrarians, they all laid down and played dead because of fear of the godless Bolsheviks from the East. The only party that stood up against him were the communists, and so they gave him at least temporary power to straighten things out, and unfortunately, then he...
We have that same situation with the Democrats refusing to stand up and, let's say, sponsor an alternate resolution which declares they're withdrawing a war authority from Bush, at least until inspections have gone on for a few more months, since the process, according to the other major powers other than Britain, seems to be having some impact. I mean, if Bush wants to keep 250,000, 300,000 troops in the Middle East, then at least the least the Congress can do would be to say, don't invade until we say invade.
Well, yes, it's just absolutely disgusting that the Democrats that seem to be the, right now we seem to be hooked on a two-party system, and
right.
We don't have any two-party system.
Well, John, thank you for calling in, and I know that you also have been, I've seen you downtown with a sign because you're a poor person who regularly earns some money to travel to the East to see your beloved.
Yes.
And you, I know several years ago, we saw you on the sidewalk, and you were being told by a CSO Malate, the police officer down there, that you, who were then 71 or 72 at that time, couldn't hold up your sign unless you stood up. You
yes,
sit down. And we pointed out to him, although he repeatedly did this to you, that was not the law. However, under Emily Riley, that is now the law. And you, in fact, have to stand up in order to have a sign that says, please help with spare change.
Yeah,
right?
I can only stand for a while because I'm not in the best of health, and I do the best I can. But right now, it's more important even for me to get a little help to visit my wife out of state. It's more important for me and for other senior citizens to play their part in opposing this horrendous act that our country is about to engage in. I can't hardly believe what's happening to my country. It's turning into a fascist state.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, John. This is Nick.
Hi, Nicholas.
Hi, Nutcracker Nick on the radio. Yeah, I know you. I see you around. John, I just remembered there is one direct action that people can do. You know, this is for vigorous types who want to do some direct physical protest against this madness, war madness. And that's the Vandenberg Air Force Base action. I keep on meeting people who intend to go there.
Yes, I've heard of that. And
yeah.
I think that whatever anybody can do, I'm kind of limited to right here in Santa Cruz.
They have to know how to get involved in this action. I think they should just go through the Resource Center for Nonviolence, because I think it's a legitimate, open action. That's 423-1626, 423-1626. And ask about the Vandenberg action that's coming up.
Yeah, I think whatever can be done it seems that Bush isn't paying any attention to whatever people do. But
yeah, we got to talk louder. He doesn't hear us. We got to talk louder. We got to be more visible. John, I'm going to roll because I got someone else calling.
Okay. Well, the best of luck.
You'll be at the vigil tonight at 5:00.
Yes, I'll stop by there, and I'll also be in the candlelight vigil.
Take an umbrella with you.
Yes, I will.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. And hopefully we'll be getting a call shortly from Thomas Levitt. We can't call him, but hopefully he can call us. I can actually try again to reach him on his...
I just want to say, I do know John. I've known him many years. He's a very knowledgeable man in the mental health field. He's either been in there, he was in the patient's rights collective. I've forgotten the exact name of it. Patients in Inmates Rights Collective. And John is a distinguished-looking guy. He catches the bus quite a bit. Doesn't quite look that he's in the 70s. He's got very silver hair and kind of pink, light-colored pink skin.
We have on the line...
Yeah, he might be approachable.
He's definitely approachable. He's outspoken. He's no man's puppet. He was denouncing me... some months ago because he thought Bush might have some sense in his policies, changed his mind.
We all take turns denouncing the Norseman.
Indeed. On the line with us is another man who has got some qualified support for me and perhaps for you, Green Party member Thomas Levitt, who's fresh out of a scan.
The Anarchist Network?
What was that scan you've been scanning there, Thomas Levitt?
Syndicate's Action Network meeting.
And how is it going? Has Bernice and Nora resigned yet? What's happening here?
Bernice and Nora are still elected members of the steering committee as voted by the general membership of the organization.
Was that vote taken before or after all the nominations were in? Well, let's not get into that right now. I mean, I know in 2000 it was taken before, but no doubt things have improved since then.
Well, that is a low blow, Robert.
You can do
better.
If you can't get democracy in the scan, then how are you going to get democracy in the nation? But who knows? So what happened at the steering committee there, Thomas? Give us the update.
Basically, we just decided on the agenda for the general membership meeting. It's going to happen on April 17th from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock at Loudon Nelson.
Any resolutions? I know that you were talking about, or I was talking.
We did not have a process by which the steering committee was able to make endorsements until this meeting. Therefore, there was no possibility for any such activities to occur.
The process of opening your mouth and attempting to make a resolution was not permitted. In some places they call that censorship, but I guess not in SCAN.
If there's no process by which you can present something to be put on the agenda for the meeting and to be voted on, then I guess you could call that censorship.
Are you telling me that for the last two decades, SCAN has had no process for putting such issues on the agenda?
Well, apparently, at this point, several meetings prior to this, there was a decision made that we would come up with a formal process for doing these things.
Well, there was a process for doing those things. I know because those things appeared on the agenda at other times, and I assume that agenda came from the steering committee.
Well, I guess the steering committee decided that they wanted to actually have a formal process.
And until they had a formal process, there would be no way for the membership to put those issues on the agenda. Is that correct?
Well, since none of the members of the general public or membership had showed up to any steering committee meetings prior to the placement of this agenda item, then...
Well, you showed up, Thomas, with some items you want to put on the agenda, and you were told to take a hike, it sounds like.
No, I didn't bother because I knew that we were voting on that resolution that day, and the parameters of that resolution included 72 hours advance notice, etc., due process for presentation of suggestions.
So in other words, they're saying that there'll be nothing on the agenda of substance on April, whatever it is, 17th or whatever?
We weren't even discussing the possibility of putting anything new on the agenda for the 17th.
Because I know that
anybody can show up at the SCAN general membership meeting and put a resolution on the floor, and if the majority of the members decide to vote on it, then they can do it.
We tried that one back in 2000. We were told that suddenly we didn't have a quorum, and so Sandy Brown declared resolutions could not be voted on.
Well, if we don't have a quorum, which is 30 members, and that should be easily verified.
Yeah, it was easily verified. What they did was they put the resolution at the very end of the meeting when there was no quorum. I'm afraid that SCAN sounds like it's up to its old tricks again, Thomas.
Well, the process I was talking about had nothing to do with the general membership meeting.
Well, it seems to
this
be...
This was a process by which the steering committee would define when and where it could make resolutions itself. It had nothing to do with the general membership meeting.
It has everything to do with the general membership, because the fact of the matter is you brought a matter which, had it been on the agenda, it might actually have been voted on by a quorum of members. Now there is no process, there's nothing on the agenda. The substantive matters you brought up about, you know, should SCAN say it, city council shouldn't go after chalkers.
I didn't bring any of those things up, Robert, because...
You were discouraged from bringing them up, were you not? You were told you could not do so and under those circumstances.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, because I was confused about what you wanted. And so it was my understanding that you were asking the steering committee to take positions on these issues, and that wasn't possible at this meeting.
Oh, I see. So it's just the steering committee taking positions.
Yes.
I thought you were setting the agenda for the next general membership meeting.
Yes, and that had already been discussed and pretty much put together.
Well, I don't want to you know, embarrass you in front of the community here, because it sounds like there was some confusion. But it sounds like to me that your attempt—I mean, it would be nice to get the steering committee to endorse, you know, the First Amendment as it applies to local Santa Cruzans in terms of chalking, in terms of tabling, in terms of not being surveilled. things of that sort in terms of the downtown ordinances. Those are the things I discussed with you, and I guess
right.
you discussed them with me. I think you support all those positions. The Green
right.
Party has taken, positions on at least some
right.
of those issues. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, if SCAN is in such a position that it discourages members like yourself from, you know, bringing these issues up, I mean, it sounds like, you know...
I don't think anything of the sort occurred.
Okay, well, clarify then. I guess what I'm saying is that...
It hadn't even occurred to me to put these on the agenda for the general membership meeting.
Okay, I will look forward with bated breath to see if these matters get on the general membership meeting. Although it's
the agenda's been set, and there's
exactly
and there's time limitations.
Has been set. There we are.
But if anybody in the future wants to bring an issue to be considered by the steering committee or by the general membership meeting, then all they need to do is contact the co-chairs, say they want this issue to be put before the steering committee, or they want this issue to be discussed by the steering committee for placement on the agenda for the general membership meeting.
Let me get substantive here. Can you bring those issues to the steering committee or to the co-chairs? And who are the co-chairs, by the way?
They're Bob Guzley and Nora Hockman.
Okay.
And so
wait a minute.
Now that there's a process.
Wait a minute. Let me finish.
Yes.
Can you bring those four resolutions that you and I agreed were, I think, both in keeping with past SCAN philosophy and important and timely, so that they either can be endorsed by the steering committee or they can be on the agenda, and I don't mean at the end of the agenda as sort of time-sensitive type items which will be discussed if they happen to have a quorum that wants to sit through a long meeting and then discuss some resolutions that are piled on the agenda at the end. Are these going to get a legitimate place on the agenda, or is there any such chance on April 17th?
Well, I don't understand how all these processes work.
I see.
But for anything to get on the agenda for April 17th, the person has to show up at the meeting, and they have to get a majority of the people in attendance there to agree to add that to the agenda.
Yeah, so in other words, but that's not the only way to get on the agenda. If you're on the inside track, you get on the agenda by having it put on the agenda beforehand, don't you?
Right.
Right.
If you actually show up to the meetings and actually present the things in a timely fashion so that they can be properly integrated into the planning process for putting together the meeting.
Right.
You can't show up at the last minute and demand...
Well, I thought that you showed up at the steering committee meeting in a timely fashion. I guess you didn't understand that those had to go on the agenda, huh?
I did not understand that you were requesting that those be put on the agenda for the general membership meeting. And again, that wouldn't have been feasible because pretty much over the last two or three months, the agenda has already been developed.
So in other words, the democratic process of SCAN is you have to come 3 months in advance to get something on the agenda through the inside track. If you come a month in advance, that's not good enough. Is that accurate, Thomas? I mean, I'm not
generally speaking, for any organization, when you're planning a major membership meeting, bringing something to be considered by the steering committee or the people organizing that meeting at the last possible minute before the agenda is set is not a wise thing.
Well, that may be true, but the fact is a month is a month. I'm sorry, and you brought these issues.
Yes, but there is not going to be another meeting before that month. So therefore, if someone had come to me like you did this morning and said, I want you to bring these forward for this last meeting that we're going to have before putting the general membership meeting agenda together and finalizing it, then, you know, I would have said, I don't believe that that's feasible.
I see. Okay.
You have to be able to educate people and give them some opportunity in advance of the point at which they're going to make the decision for them to do this.
Uh-huh. Well, the problem you have is that we have breaking issues anyway. I mean, first of all,
if you have breaking issues, then you can bring them to the steering committee meeting. There's going to be a steering committee meeting on April 19th, and I'm perfectly happy to bring these things to the steering committee meeting on April 19th.
Okay. Well, the problem is the steering committee is much more conservative than the general membership, as far as I can see, and also has a series of very strong reactions to some of the key activists, myself being among them.
Well, then SCAN members, there will be an election of the majority of the steering committee.
Oh, spare me this. Come on, Thomas. We've seen this before. I hate to see you justifying this kind of process.
I'm not justifying anything, Robert. There's a process. It's simple. It's rational. What any functional organization needs to do in order to be able to manage itself effectively.
Right.
If you or anyone else wants to be on the steering committee or change the composition of the steering committee...
Thomas, we have tried it, and we weren't even given a fair vote. I'm sorry. And
well,
we know. We were there when you weren't. It was back in 2000. We saw it happen. We saw Bernice Belton and Nora Hockman hold a private meeting in a private house and eliminate the SCAN steering committee. We have 90% of the Dolphin Leaf families have been evicted from the area, partially because SCAN backed that bullshit. SCAN actually was with us. The membership was us, but the steering committee was against us. And the fact of the matter is that it annoys me to an extreme to hear you justifying
I'm not justifying anything, Robert. The process is, if you want to displace the steering committee meetings, all you have to do is show up at the meeting with a majority of people who agree with you that the people serving should not be there.
Oh, you mean it's so simple, right, Thomas? It's just it's 1, 2, 3, and you snap your finger. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to fight with you about it.
It's the way any organization works.
No, there, it's not.
Okay, well, then something else is going on.
Yes,
but from what I know, and if I was there, and if I wanted to make a nomination, that is exactly what I would do.
I know. Listen, I do appreciate your bringing up these issues at the SCAN steering committee meeting.
Uh-huh.
I guess, and I know you did this on very short notice, and I appreciate your struggling with these processes, which can be, they can seem to be merely frustrating when in fact they are rigged. And then I think that is something you will probably find out as you go along, or who knows, maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised and we'll find that is no longer the case. So
okay.
That would be good. Listen, Thomas, thank
mm-hmm.
you. Anything you
You're
want welcome. To announce in terms of any Green Party issues or just, I know you've been a supporter of the vigil against two wars. You may know that they're resuming their vigil at
mm-hmm.
5 o'clock.